Good afternoon. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the November 16th, 2020 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Management Committee. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Good afternoon. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for the Management Committee, Board of Commissioners, and specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during this meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask the commissioners and participating staff to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. During the meeting, anyone who is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
This is Carol Ventura. Nicole Clement, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this telephonic meeting.
Thank you, Carol. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Nicole Clement. Pursuant to Executive Order 20-46, extended by Executive Order 20-93, and as may be further amended or extended, this meeting is being held via teleconference. Members of the public can visit the Rhode Island Housing website to view the agenda and information on the actions being taken. In the event this teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until we can reconnect and audio is restored. I would now like to provide some additional guidance to our committee members and staff as they participate in this meeting. Vice Chairman Brett Smiley will preside. Please remember to state your name prior to speaking, and please remember to mute your telephone line when you are not speaking. And now I will turn it over to Vice Chairman Smiley to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. This is Brett Smiley. I would now call the meeting to order and ask that a roll call vote be taken to establish attendance of the Management Committee.
Thank you, Chairman Smiley. This is Carol Ventura. I'll now conduct a roll call of Management Committee members, Board of Commissioners in attendance, and staff of Rhode Island Housing. Chairman Nicholas Racines.
Here.
Commissioner Brett Smiley.
Here.
Commissioner Seth Magaziner, not in attendance. Commissioner Steve McAllister.
Here.
Staff of Rhode Island Housing, James Comer.
Here.
Lisa Premiano.
Here.
Carol LaChapelle.
Here.
Nancy Bacon.
Here.
Christine Hunsinger. Nicole Clement.
Here.
Peter Pagonis.
Here.
Leslie McKnight.
Here.
Barbara Farron.
Here.
CJ Rotella.
Here.
Commissioner Smiley, the roll call is complete.
Thank you, Carol. Again, it's Brett Smiley. I'd like to start with committee item number one, approval of the minutes of the Management Committee meeting held on September 8, 2020. Is there a motion to approve? And I'll remind commissioners to please state their name when speaking.
This is Commissioner McAllister. I move favorable action.
Thank you,
Steve. This is Nick Martinez. I'll second.
Thanks, Nick. Are there any questions or comments or discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll ask the General Counsel to please conduct a roll call.
Thank you, Commissioner Smiley. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of approving the minutes of the Management Committee meeting held on September 8, 2020, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Rezinas.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Brett Smiley. I'd like to introduce committee item number two, recommendation for approval of external charitable donations and contributions, and ask that Carol Ventura please present item number two.
Thank you, Commissioner Smiley. This is Carol Ventura. This action is for approval and ratification of recent charitable contributions and donations made by Rhode Island Housing to partner agencies. The charted attachment A summarizes the sole contribution made by the agency, which was for the Rhode Island Coalition for the Homeless virtual annual award event. Four staff attended this event, Congratulations to our Elizabeth Bioto, the Continuum of Care Planner for Rhode Island Housing, who was the recipient of the Senator Jack Reed Advocacy Award this year. Staff recommends approval of this charitable contribution in the amount of $120.
Thank you. It's Brett Smiley, and yes, congratulations. I will ask a commissioner to please move approval.
This is Commissioner McAllister. I move favorable action.
This is Nick. I second.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the motion?
I have one question.
Please, Nick.
Nicole, is it on an annual basis, say January 1st, December 31st basis, will you provide a summary of the donations?
Yes. So I will be working with Kara and her team to put together that document, and we typically present it at the January board meeting.
And you'll give us the last 3 or 4 years?
We can do that. I can work with Kara to do that.
Just put it in context. I have no problem with any of them, but just to put it in context.
Yep, we can definitely do that, and I'll reach back out to you to make sure that we have all the information you're looking for.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Nicole. Hearing no further discussion, I'll ask Nicole to please take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of recommending approval of the external charitable donations and contributions to the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Ritzenis.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Brett Smiley, moving on to committee item number 3, recommendation for approval of the fiscal year 2021 operating budget. And we'll ask Carol Ventura to please present item number 3.
Thank you, Commissioner Smiley. Today, Carol LaChapelle and I will walk you through our proposed fiscal year 21 budget. We're going to go through a number of documents with you. Apologies to the chairman and to Commissioner Smiley. They've heard this before, so please be patient with us as we go through all this information. And feel free to jump in at any time with questions as we move through the presentation. As indicated in the memo, the projected bottom line net revenue for fiscal year 21 is $7.7 million. The budget reflects our move to bond our single-family loans versus sale of our loans in the TBA market. While this provides opportunity to grow our portfolio, which is important for long-term growth, it does reduce immediate revenue. We also anticipate a reduction in demand for our single-family loan products due to rising housing values and persistent unemployment. I'm hoping that our new down payment program will help to mitigate the reduction in single family production. We are also projecting a reduction in our fee collection due to federal regulations prohibiting the collection of fees on delinquent single family loans. I do expect that we will continue to have a large number of staff working remotely next year. On any given day, we have between 150 and 180 staff working from home. As you might imagine, this puts pressure on our IT group to ensure that folks have the tools they need and access to programs to ensure that they can do their work. The combination of remote work, ongoing support, and necessary upgrades for existing programs and new initiatives has resulted in an overall increase in our technology budget. We are projecting a slight increase in personnel salary expenses to provide the flexibility we need to ensure that we are able to recruit for vacant positions. There is no agency-wide merit increase for staff proposed in this budget. There will be an increase to our healthcare expenses of approximately 9%. I want to note that the projected 21 net revenue does not include the $1.1 million transfer that is currently in the state budget. This number is subject to change based on actions the state may take with respect to their budget. So let me pause here for questions on the budget memo before I move on to our projected housing investments. No questions? Okay. pages 1 through 3 in the packet is a summary of housing investments that we expect to make during the fiscal year with the board's support. The summary is for your information only and is not part of the action item. The summary includes investments from federal, state, and agency funds. It also includes financing estimates on bonding and lending. The board and trustees vote on individual action items for most of the programs in this investment summary. For example, the board votes to approve our bond resolutions and individual project financing under programs like the Home Program and the Housing Trust Fund. Overall, we anticipate deploying more than $700 million into the Rhode Island economy as a result of these investments. We have broken down the report into six categories that I hope helps to frame the various investments. There is a lot of information in the summary, so I'll pause here and answer any questions you have on specific programs.
I thought the format, Carol, was excellent this year. It follows what you've done before, but it's even crisper. So thank you for that.
Glad to hear it. Good. So hearing no questions, let me move on to pages 4 and 5, which is titled Rhode Island Housing Program Budget Fiscal Year 2021, along with a description of the programs included in this budget. These are programs that will be funded with Rhode Island Housing Operating Funds, so this budget is part of the action to be taken at the board meeting. Again, broken down into a number of subcategory areas. The first area is our support for homeless programs. This includes the rental assistance dollars that we deploy and also includes our HomeSafe program that we created in the spring. I expect that after the first of the year, there will be likely increasing demand for rental and mortgage assistance as the additional unemployment benefit boost has expired and people may not have returned to full employment. The new lease program works with owners of our PBCA developments to prioritize housing for homeless families. And this program is really the matchmaker between our state continuum of care and owners of PBCA properties. So we just got it off the ground. It's starting to really work well. So we want to continue to work with New Lease to add more successes in moving homeless families from shelter into permanent housing. The next subcategory relates to our investments in community development activities. The sole program in this category is the LISC NDF program that we've supported for probably 2 decades now, maybe even 3. We are recommending level funding for this program, which provides significant support to community development organizations, and our investment in this program is leveraged 4-to-1 by LISC. Moving to our community support programs, we are proposing to fund 2 programs to support homeowners and potential homeowners, as well as residents living in developments that we've financed. We are proposing to invest up to $500,000 in these 2 programs, which is an increase of $50,000 over last year. The chairman encouraged us to add a new program to this category. The Digital Equity Initiative will focus on assisting us to explore and implement a program or a range of programs to assist low-income Rhode Islanders gain access to reliable broadband service. We will also be introducing a new program in our loan center this year that's designed to help homebuyers who experience a temporary housing crisis due to events like an illness or a temporary expense that wasn't anticipated by the homeowner. We will establish a 3-month PD escrow for new home buyers who participate in intensive pre- and post-purchase education and counseling. That escrow can be used to meet their mortgage obligation if they become delinquent. The escrow is really an incentive for buyers to participate in the education program, and our goal is to increase the success rate of our first-time home buyers. Lastly, we are proposing to support the successful ZEOS program that was initially capitalized with OER resources. 15 homes are being developed with the initial funding of $500,000. Well, let me pause for comments or questions before I turn it over to Kara.
This is Steve. With the rental assistance, now, you know, there's still all these laws that you can't foreclose on anybody or move somebody out. I think there's going to be a big rush on that once that gets lifted. Do we prepared? Is that through the rental assistance that for our properties or for people applying? Are we prepared for that? Because I do think that could be a large number really quickly as soon as whenever that mandate ends.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. And we're working closely with the state to stand up a rental assistance program using the Federal CARES Act funds. In addition, I mentioned the HomeSafe program. That's in our operating budget for $500,000. We're matching that with a Federal Home Loan Bank grant of another $500,000. So we'll have $1 million to deploy in terms of helping people catch up on their rent or even their mortgage payments through our HomeSafe program. So we'll monitor it. We'll see what the demand looks like. We'll monitor what the, you know, the federal government does with respect to any new programs that they're looking to deploy and do our very best for Rhode Islanders.
Great, yeah, because I do fear that's the next bubble that could pop. And the new lease program,
yeah.
I know you're just getting it off. I've seen it advertised a bunch of different places, so it seems like you guys are getting the word out on that. How many units so far, or do you do it by units or properties, or how is it going so far?
Yeah, we do it by families, and I wish I had that number for you off the top of my head, but I can get that for you from Clarabelle. Steve, I don't think Clarabelle is on this call. I will get you the number of families.
But it sounds like you're getting the word out, so I bet you there'll be it sounds like a good program. I'm glad to see that you're moving forward with it as well.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, let me turn it over to Kara then to go over the balance of the presentation.
Thank you, Carol. Starting on page 6, the chart that's titled Revenue and Expenses, this is a summary of the main categories that make up our budget, and I'll go through each line and discuss the differences from the prior year. The first line is net interest income, which is the largest component of revenue. This is the interest that we receive on both our multifamily and single-family loans, less the interest that we pay on the bonds that we issue or lines of credit that we use to finance those loans. The fiscal year 21 budget is estimated at $29.3 million and reflects a slight increase from prior year, and that's mainly as a result of the low interest rates. We've been able to refinance some of our bonds at lower interest rates, and that has saved us on our interest expense. This has offset some of the decline that we're seeing in interest income due to delinquency and forbearance on our single family loans. This number, the 29.3, is made up approximately of 60% from multifamily loans and 40% from single family homeownership loans. The next line is fee income. These are the fees that we earn in servicing for servicing our loans, managing federal programs, and also loan underwriting and loan origination fees. The fiscal year 21 budget of $19.5 million reflects a 5% reduction, and this is related to the reduction in our estimates for new single family loans this year, as well as a reduction in servicing fees that we are able to collect because of delinquency and the federal moratorium on certain fees. The gain on sale of loans, if you look at the column that is actual 2020, it had a very large increase in fiscal 2020 at $8.9 million. At the time of the shutdown, we were in the process of issuing single-family bonds, and as a result of the economic disruption, that was no longer feasible. So instead, we sold those loans into the TBA market, and that resulted in very high gains. The fiscal year 21 budget of just under $3.5 million reflects a more balanced approach between bonds and TBA sales, which is where we expect to be. Moving on to the expense side, we are budgeting $3 million for loan losses, which is the same as we budgeted for fiscal 20. We do believe that this will be adequate to cover potential delinquencies. We've reviewed our allowance for loan loss with our auditors as of June 30, 2020, and we think this will put us in a covered position. Over the last several years, we've been able to shift a significant portion of our portfolio to more federally insured loans, and so this has reduced the losses to Rhode Island Housing. The next line is our programmatic expenses, and Carol went over that with a total of $4.3 million. And then finally, our operating expenses, which are budgeted at $37.2 million, and that does reflect a small increase compared to prior year. We had reductions in several line items, such as seminars and training and travel. But as Carol mentioned, we had some increases primarily in health insurance rates and increases in technology. So I'll stop there to see if there are any questions on this summary page.
Kara, this is Nick. Embedded in these numbers are a forecast of what the interest rate will be. You've talked about some of the changes you've made in individual programs. What kind of working assumption are we under, have we put ourselves under in terms of our forecast for interest rates?
So at least through the end of this fiscal year, it would be based on very similar to the existing rates. We expect continued low rates, and the Fed has indicated that they will continue to be involved in the market, you know, to an extent to keep interest rates low. I believe it'll be really for the foreseeable future. I think it will be beyond the end of this fiscal year, but, you know, that's to be determined.
I agree. That's about where my forecast is. I understand FHA is starting to have second thoughts about insuring loans with forbearance. Is that going to affect us?
So we had different policies regarding purchasing new loans if they were in forbearance. We had been allowing that to give our lenders some time to work through their pipeline. I believe at this time we are not purchasing loans if they have already gone into forbearance. Mm-hmm. And so we're moving through the loan population quickly so that we're getting that FHA insurance in time and in place before there's any delinquencies.
Right. I think even the Fannie and Freddie, the GSE loans, are having second thoughts about the policy.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on to the next couple of pages, we've included some graphs just basically to show the historical level of revenues on page 7. So you can see back several years, and most of the revenue line items are stable or increasing. Also on page 8 is the historical level of expenses. And you can certainly see here that first section of loan losses and how those losses have decreased over the years. Page 9 is a chart that tracks what we've done in our single family home ownership loans, and it's split out by how much we bonded in the blue section versus how much we sold in the TBA market, which is the green section of the columns. The orange line represents loans receivable on our balance sheet, and so this shows, you can see how that has changed over time as we're navigating the market and trying to choose the best execution for our loans.
Can I ask a question? It's Brett, going back to
sure.
Slide 8.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is before my time on the board. What was the cause of the dramatic increase in operating expenditures between 2014 and 2018 or 2019?
So I think that we had increased as an organization. We had taken on additional programs. Some of those programs were state programs, the Building Homes RI bond, as well as the ARP program. We were also managing the Treasury's Hardest Hit Fund program. So it was a direct, there's a direct correlation between the programs that we are running and those operating expenses. We would also see an increase based on an increase in our loan closings. So steadily, we've been seeing on the single family side an increase in our home ownership production. Now, we do expect this year for that to maybe shrink a little bit, but that is part of the reason for the increase in the operating expenses.
I see. Thank you.
Sure. The last page of the packet, page 10, that is kind of the detailed line items for our operating expenses. And I won't go over that, you know, line by line. I would just say that in general, our actual expenses in 2020 were below budget. Once the state of emergency was declared, we took immediate action to reduce non-essential spending and to furlough staff. But you will see in fiscal year 21 small increases. As Carol mentioned, health insurance costs, unemployment benefits have a bit of an increase because we did furlough some staff. And primarily on the middle section in operating, it's more related to technology-related expenses. So I'll stop there. And I know this is a lot of information here, but we thought we would give you kind of that overall view.
This is Steve. How are we overall on staffing? You mentioned that we had to furlough some people. What's the number we're at now, and do you intend on bringing people back, or are we going to, do we see with this new remote how we can, you know, move some resources around and different things? Where are we on staffing?
Sure. Lisa, do you want to give just a quick overview on where we stand?
Sure, Kara. So for this fiscal year, we are down 14 FTEs. So we're at a total of 225, and that's down from 240 last year. And you'll see that over the past 7 to 8 months, we have combined some duties in some of our positions. We've eliminated positions. And where we've had some voluntary terminations, we've realigned some of those positions. So we're able to keep the FTEs down, like I said, another 14 to 225.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions, I think that's the balance of what we had to present. Thank you for your attention to this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your hard work. This is Brett Smith. Are there any other questions in general before we take a motion to approve? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion to approve.
This is Steve McAllister. I move favorable action.
This is Nick. Second.
Nicole Clement, please take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of recommending for approval the fiscal year 2021 operating budget to the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Rosina.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you. This is Brett Smine. Thank you to the hard work of the staff. Putting budgets together are difficult generally, and in an environment like this is very challenging. And there was a pre-call with Nick and I, and we really appreciate everyone's hard work and responsiveness to that feedback and the product that you put together today. I look forward to vetting it with the full board. Moving on to item number four, recommendation for approval of amendment to the vacation leave policy. We'll ask Barbara Ferran to present committee action four, please.
Thank you, Commissioner Smiley. I am Barbara Ferran, and I am going to present our recommendation to amend our vacation leave benefits policy as of January 1st, 2021. Both senior management and human resources, we do periodically review our corporation's both compensation and benefits package. When, in order to attract and retain high-performing workforce, we must offer our employees a competitive and comprehensive suite of benefits, which includes paid vacation time. We do have a lot of feedback from candidates when we do make job offers to them, one of which is that they looked for a work-life balance at this point in their career, and we have taken a second look at what we do offer to our employees. We do propose to update and enhance the vacation leave policy set forth in Section 401 of our Rhode Island Housing Employee Handbook. We'd like to increase the amount of accrued vacation time for length of service by 1 week, 40 hours. We'd also like to increase the vacation carryover, which is currently at 120 hours, to each calendar year, 140 hours. We do request this, and if you have any questions, I am available to answer those.
Hi, it's Brett Smiley. I'm
hi,
just
Brett.
Looking at the policy. The policy now, are there also personal days?
Yes, we do have 3 personal days each year.
So this is
for a
new employee then would have 18 paid days off?
Correct. That is correct.
And
we have looked at other HFAs in the area, and we did also look into the state, obviously, and other quasi-agencies as well.
And you found that we were not competitive with other HFAs? This seems like a
long time. With the less than 1 year, we were not competitive with other HFAs. 20 HFAs who responded to our request, and there were 15 that actually had higher within the first couple of years. The second and third year, we were in the middle. 10 had higher, 10 had lower. Years 4 through 9, there were 13 higher at that point. And 10 and over, there were 14 that actually had more vacation than we had over 10 years.
And it's more than anecdotal that this has been a recruiting problem?
Yes. What we've been doing is, especially within the first year and the vacation days that we have, the personal days primarily been used by hours. Mostly employees are using them 24 hours to go to doctor's appointments, different type of medical appointments, rather than using personal days. It's mostly been in hour increments. And a lot of our employees currently have reached out to us about work-life balance. In those type of areas, they may have an appointment that they want to go for their child. They may want to go see a play or something that their child is participating in. And because of that, they have been using the personal hours more than vacation days on that.
Does Rhode Island Housing utilize a benefit consultant or something like that?
Yes, we have been using
Mercer or someone.
Marsh, correct.
Marsh, yeah.
Marsh McLennan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you cost out the financial impact of this change on the organization?
Yes. Kara, did you have the information on that?
Yes, so an additional week based on, this is Kara, based on the current staffing that we have, an additional week of vacation time, the value is just about $300,000. It's not an additional cost to Rhode Island Housing for budget purposes, but that would be the value of those hours.
And this is being raised now because it goes in conjunction with the budget, or you just felt like it was ripe?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Why is this being raised now? Is there a plan amendment? Is there a benefit year timeline? Is there something that necessitates this, that this be done right now? Or is it just that this was the right time to bring it forward?
We wanted to bring it forward now to try to implement for January 1st, 2021.
I'd be curious to hear feedback from my colleagues on the board.
One of the reasons it's up for consideration is we made a decision in conjunction with members of the board that this isn't the year to worry about salary increase and payment compensation. People had such a difficult time making do. We tried to find a way to implement some kind of benefit that would show we appreciate the work of the staff, particularly when we've made some cutbacks this year. So that's, the timing is coincidental to the review of the budget.
When's the last time we changed the benefits, the vacation benefits in particular?
I have only been with the company for 4 years now. Kara, do you have that information possibly?
I don't, but I believe that this has been in place, for many years. I don't believe we've made any changes to the vacation policy. Probably at least a decade that I can recall.
This is Carol. I don't recall in my time being at Rhode Island Housing there being any changes to vacation. I mean, there was changes to work week hours, but I don't recall any changes to the vacation benefit.
Are we on a 35-hour or 40-hour week?
We're on a 40-hour week. That changed when I was at Rhode Island Housing. So that changed probably maybe 15 years ago. Do you remember that, Kara? I think probably around 15, at least more than a decade, that work week, the number of hours changed.
I'm sorry, Steve, I cut you off.
No problem. Do we know on about how many people actually carry over? So it's 120 hours you can carry over now. The proposal is to carry over to 140 hours. Do we have a lot of people? We're finding in some of our member companies that people are not taking the time now because they're working from home and it gives them a little more flexibility. So now more and more are holding on to their vacation days, looking to bank that on the carryover on the back end. Are we seeing that at all?
We have had employees, that anyone who's over 120 hours, we do put that into supplemental sick time. And we really haven't had too many people who have had to do that. I'd say maybe approximately 10 employees.
That did the max carryover? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
So there's vacation time and personal days. So there's three personal days along with this. So we're not looking to increase the personal days. It was just the vacation days. I have seen other companies, they just do PTO, pay time off, all in one thing. It's just one benefit, whether you take it as personal time or vacation time, it's just PTO. Would that have any effect on that? Because, then the numbers could still be the same, or you could, move the three over and add three. I'm just giving us more flexibility thinking about that. It's just a one thing, a paid time off, whereas there wouldn't be a difference between a vacation day or a personal day. It was just, your time that you have, do with it as you please.
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of companies who have looked at the PTO. With our company, we've looked at it more as personal time. and vacation time separately. But it is something, you know, that senior management and human resources can look to possibly in the future.
Steve, this is Carol. One of the reasons why we've kept it separate is because we set the personal days every year. So, for example, if we're in a situation where we are not doing as well financially, it would be at our discretion whether or not we would offer personal time off, right? So we set that annually, and I think it gives management a little bit of flexibility in order to make decisions as we're planning out our finances for the year as to whether or not we would provide those days.
Okay, thank you.
How do we, has Marsh also done salary comparisons to other HFAs? Where do we rank on those charts?
They have not completed that as of yet. We did do a compensation study 3 years ago, and at that point in time, we did very well. We were in line with other HFAs. We do have an HFA study going out currently through Gallagher, through all the HFAs. They are asking for all of our salary information. So there is being one done currently, but that's through Gallagher, and that's all of the HFAs from the NCSHA who will be involved in that. So we can see how well we are doing. Probably by the beginning of the year, because they're just starting to collect those surveys now.
I would have an easier time wrapping my head around this if I felt like, because I think vacation time is, you know, part of a total compensation package along with salaries.
And correct.
If we were low on salaries, then generous vacation time is a way to make up for that, and vice versa. Other than just, I heard Nick's point, but is it possible to consider holding this decision until that salary survey was returned?
When is it due again, the salary?
The salary should be in hopefully by the beginning of the year.
Okay. Carol, does this pose any hardship for you to wait to see what that study looks like?
Only that, you know, the study is due at the beginning of the year. It's probably going to take some time to analyze it. We did want to implement this the first of the year, but you know, without having salary increases, we thought this was a great compromise. But
right. I mean, I'm just one vote here, so and I'm one vote on the board as well. So if the other committee members would like to move passage or forward to the board with maybe without recommendation for discussion with the full board, I'm very open to that. But I'm not personally in a position to recommend approval. These are a pretty extraordinary package of vacation time that's far in advance of what other public sector employees get. And I think more than private sector employees as well. And not knowing how we rank from a salary perspective, it's just difficult for me to support personally. But I respect my other colleagues and know that there's a full board that should discuss this.
I would, in that, with my perspective, I'm also a single vote on the board. I would move that the committee recommend it to the full board, with an understanding that in the interim, we'll talk, Carol and I will talk about timetables and study and where we are. So we might add some additional information to the review, but I'd keep the train moving.
I would be just fine with that. So then if there's no further discussion, I'll take a motion to approve or recommend approval.
So moved.
And I'll second that. I think it would be good to go for the full board to have the discussion. I think, you know, we'll keep talking. But I do think that information that Commissioner Smiley spoke about is important. And so I look forward to seeing that as well. But I think it's a good discussion to have for the full board.
Very well. Then we'll ask Nicole Clement to please take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement.
When I call your name, if you are in favor of recommending for approval the amendment to the vacation leave benefits policy to the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Nay.
Chairman Ritzina.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
There are two ayes and one nay. The vote, the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Brett Smiley. We'll move to committee item number five, recommendation for ratification and confirmation of the actions and votes of the Board of Commissioners. And we'll ask Nicole Clement to please present item number five.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. This is Nicole Clement. Before I get started, I want to let you all know that I'm having some technical difficulties on my phone, so if I get choppy or break up, please bear with me, and I will try to repeat myself if I need to. But before to get started, this request for action, we are asking that the Board of Commissioners ratify and confirm certain votes, resolutions, and actions which are reflected in the corporation's records. Pursuant to the Rhode Island Housing Enabling Act, the Board is authorized to adopt resolutions and take any and all actions necessary to carry out its purposes and exercise the powers given or granted to it in its Enabling Act. It has come to the attention of the Rhode Island Housing staff that certain governance records of the corporation were not available in the files of the Rhode Island Secretary of State. Staff has since taken the necessary steps to ensure that these records of the Rhode Island Secretary of State are now complete. And consistent with these steps, and as an administrative matter, Rhode Island Housing staff deems it advisable for the corporation to ratify and confirm certain votes, resolutions, and actions reflected in the corporation's records. Specifically, staff is asking the board to ratify, confirm, and approve and adopt in all respects all votes, resolutions, and actions done or performed by the corporation, its commissioners, officers, staff, and agents in the furtherance of the purposes of the corporation beginning on and after April 3rd, 2014, through the date of the resolution. And this resolution will take effect upon approval by the Board of Commissioners. At this time, I ask if there are any questions.
Questions? Hearing none, it's Brett Smiley. I'll ask for a motion to approve.
I make favorable action.
Second.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Nick. If Nicole Clement could please take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of recommending for approval the ratification and confirmation of the actions and votes of the Board of Commissioners to the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Ritzina.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. It's again, Brett Smiley. Move to committee item number six, recommendation for the approval of engagement of a homeownership lending consultant. And we'll ask Peter Pagonis to please present item number six.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Smiley. Homeownership management seeks approval to engage a qualified homeownership lending consultant to provide strategic advisory services in the areas of business development and customer relationship management in the residential mortgage lending industry. While in-person sales calls and client trainings are still valuable, the impact of these traditional approaches has changed substantially in recent months, as we all are quite aware. Given the current reality of fewer face-to-face interactions, staff members have identified a need for a consultant to develop new strategies to deepen and develop relationships with participating lenders and real estate industry leaders. The new sales process should level all human and technological resources available to Rhode Island Housing with the goal of driving mortgage production. And this consultant would specifically support the lender services and loan center origination staff. In September of 2020, Rhode Island Housing posted an RFP with the following key areas of advice: business development planning, customer service training, online mortgage platform, and customer relationship management. We submitted the proposal on the Rhode Island Housing website and the website maintained by the State of Rhode Island Department of Administration's Division of Purchases. One firm, Sage Index Incorporated, submitted a proposal in response to the RFP. A selection committee comprised of the Director of Home Ownership, the Senior Lender Services Manager, and the Lender Services Coordinator reviewed the submission and evaluated it in accordance with the criteria outlined in the RFP. The selection committee scored the responses based on the firm's professional capacity, fee structure, experience, and experience with other housing finance agencies. The committee found that Sage Index was determined to be qualified to provide homeownership lending consultant services to Rhode Island Housing with a final score of 91%. Sage Index specializes in the modernization of business development, and the applicant has completed 7 engagements for housing agencies over the past 3 years focused on business development plans that employ the latest technology and methodology to increase business volume, improve customer service levels, and achieve mission-focused objectives. The homeownership management team seeks approval for Sage Index as a homeownership lending consultant. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. It's Brett Smiley. Are there any questions for Peter?
I have one question. Peter, could you elaborate a little more on the affirmative action part of the proposal?
So one of the items that we did score upon was firm minority status in affirmative action program or activities, and that was certainly had heavy weighting in the matrix. They did receive a score out of a 4.3 out of 7, which was not one of their stronger areas, but that was what was registered.
Is there anything in the work they've done for other HFAs which would give us reason to believe they would help us in this regard?
Well, they are certainly aware of our interest and have spoken to other HFAs about reducing the homeownership minority lending gap. They're quite aware of that, and I know have been researching the principles of the firm best practices around the country, and it's certainly something we're going to discuss with them.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Steve. I was going to ask about the score as well in the affirmative action. And also, just the one bidder, any reason why Sage was the only one to respond? Do we know?
Great question. I would say it's a niche business. And I would say there's not a lot of entities out there that provide this business development advice to HFAs. The part of the proposal that gave us comfort was their familiarity with HFAs. One of the two key members of the team was a former director of homeownership at Mass Housing, who I hold in very high regard. But it is a niche business, and it's much different than consulting a big money center bank, for example.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to approve item number 6.
I move favorable action.
I second.
Thanks. And we'll ask the General Counsel to take a roll call, please.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of recommending for approval the engagement of a home ownership lending consultant to the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Ritvina.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. It's Brett Smiley. This is the last item, committee item number 7, recommendation for approval of engagement of residential mortgage post-closing due diligence firm. And Peter Pagonis will present this item as well. Peter?
Thank you, Vice Chairman Smiley. Homeownership seeks approval to engage a firm to provide residential mortgage post-closing due diligence services for the homeownership and loan servicing divisions. To meet investor requirements, a post-closing compliance review must be conducted of the residential mortgages that Rhode Island Housing originates, purchases, and subservices. In September 2020, Rhode Island Housing posted an RFP. One firm, Titan Lender Services Corporation, submitted a proposal in response to the RFP. The selection committee, comprised of the Director of Home Ownership, Assistant Deputy Director of Loan Servicing, Assistant Director of Home Ownership, and the Senior Manager of Rhode Island Housing Quality Control Department reviewed the proposals, and which the firm received a score of 91 out of a possible 100. Titan provides a variety of post-closing services to approximately 750 mortgage clients nationwide, nine of which are housing finance agencies. Rhode Island Housing has been a client of Titan since 2013, and since that time, Titan has provided Rhode Island Housing with a solid purchase review experience by upgrading and automating their purchase review technology and increasing their speed to purchase closed loans. Rhode Island Housing Homeownership Division seeks approval of Titan Lender Services Corporation as its post-closing due diligence provider. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Are there questions from the committee?
They've been doing this a long time, Peter?
They have. They are a leader not only in the space for HFAs, but nationally as well. This move with Titan, which we started in 2013, was due to the fact that we made a conscious effort to enter the TBA market, and we realized that we need to have a third party given the hours involved to scrub and really analyze closing documents from closed loans. So they're a leader. Their technology is quite impressive, and I will say by working with them, our lenders are quite impressed with the overall experience, which is nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Any other questions? Hearing none, I will take a motion to approve, please.
I move favorable action.
Second.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Nick. And we'll ask the General Counsel to please take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of recommending for approval the engagement of a residential mortgage post-closing due diligence firm to the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Ritvinas.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. There is no further business in the management committee. I appreciate everyone's time and discussion today and would ask for a motion to adjourn, please.
I make the motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Nick. And we'll ask Nicole to take one final roll call.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is Nicole Clement. When I call your name, if you are in favor of adjourning this meeting, please respond by saying aye or opposed by saying nay. Vice Chairman Smiley.
Aye.
Chairman Ravina.
Aye.
Commissioner McAllister.
Aye.
The vote is unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.